Hello everyone, and welcome to Cardboard Buzz! And today, we'll be talking about how fun is Yokohama. Cardboard Buzz! Right. So, Yokohama is a game set in the Meiji era, wherein players play as merchants trying to gain fame from a successful business. And to do that, they actually need to build stores, broaden their sales channels, learn a variety of techniques, and respond to trade abroad. Yeah, so this is basically a new series that the Cardboard Buzz is producing. It's basically it will tackle how fun actually a game is.
Yeah.
In three components or three areas basically. First is learning and teaching the rules.
Right.
The theme, and the overall gameplay experience.
Yes.
So let's start actually with the rules. Learning and teaching the rules. All right. As the designated teacher, looking at the rule book.
Yeah.
The rule book sucks. It sucks a lot. So, I mean, when it comes to games kasi, syempre, you know, when you're buying a game, especially if you have no idea as well.
Yes.
Apart from the cover, the first thing that you would look at is the rule book.
Yeah.
Right? How thick is it? How thick it is? Mm. Right? Yung font and all of that, yung presentation.
Yes.
So, Yokohama's rule book is kind of, it's not really straightforward. Especially the way the game works as well. Because, the main phase of the game, which is the meat of the game, happens in the middle of the explanation of rules.
Mm.
So parang you would have to come up with a creative way of explaining it to everyone.
Right.
Yes. It has a mechanic as well, a movement mechanic that's kind of unique. Well, we first saw it in Istanbul.
Yeah.
And then it was applied to Yokohama in a different sense.
How many pages?
Well, merong ibang versions ng rulebook. This is around 10 to 12 pages.
Mm.
Na medyo malaki.
Right. That can be intimidating for someone.
Yes, na parang A4 size.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, kasi may iconography and all of that. Pero, so in my experience, the learning it from the rulebook isn't as fun as I taught it to the guys that I've played it with.
Right.
So,
yeah.
when Benj brought his copy, which is a borrowed copy from Sher, by the way, shout out to you guys.
Thank you for letting us play it.
Yes. I learned the game from the rule book and then I explained it to you.
Right.
To actually gauge my understanding as well of the game. It was easier than I thought. The biggest barrier is yung iconography.
Right.
Which every heavy euro is, you know, it's part of every heavy euro game anyway.
And people don't normally notice this, but there's a lot of there's an art form when designing the rule book also.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
As we've tried that before with our own games because it has its own challenges.
Yes.
Of how to convey even the simplest rules in the most concise and clear way.
Yep. The people reading it will actually understand what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Pero yun, so overall, it's better to teach it, I guess, than learning it from the rule book itself.
I agree. Yeah.
Pero what do you think, Drew? Because you're the one who actually learned it from me.
Yeah.
How easy did you think was it to learn?
Well, we mentioned that, this type of, game mechanic, is also attributed to Istanbul. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, people call this a more complex Istanbul.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And in that sense, I really wasn't coming to it with just a zero experience in the game. But given that, I still had a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Even after several plays. It was only through the goodness of my playgroup that they pointed out that I was limiting myself to 3 tiles per movement when I didn't have to.
Yes.
So in that sense, there was a little bit of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when you were teaching the game, you had to check back with Bench to see if you were teaching it right, which we never do.
Yeah,
when you were teaching other games.
Yes.
So in that case, there was some challenges to it.
Yeah.
But receiving the iconography was a little hard.
Yeah.
Yun yung pinaka challenge.
Yes. Pero I think once you know it or para after one round, right? Everything becomes intuitive.
Gets mo na, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's basically the same, iba lang ng icons.
Right, yeah.
So yun. That's about it with the learning and the rules basically. For as per the mechanics, it has different boards. The movement is basically like Istanbul, wherein you place assistants and you have a president, and you can only move on places where you have assistants.
Yes.
And if you move through a space where another president is there, you have to pay your opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah, a coin basically.
Yes.
So what do you think of the theme?
Now we played this I've heard about Yokohama almost immediately after I bought Istanbul.
Ah,
it was recommended to me by Bayongo Folding, where I got my Istanbul. Shout out to Bayongo Folding. Thank you for that recommendation. But at the time, I looked it up and said, okay, well, I love Istanbul. Maybe I'll get Yokohama. But when I was looking at the graphics, and it really didn't stand out to me. In my comments here, I wrote that theme is not sexy. Okay, can you describe it again? It's
1950s. Actually, 1800s to 1920s Japan.
Japan,
yeah.
During the
Meiji era.
Meiji era when they were like industrialization.
Yeah, slowly in trialing.
That is not sexy at all. At all. Before the start of this podcast, I was thinking of ways to reskin it. I was thinking maybe if we put it in medieval Japan. In the times of the medieval Meiji era, where you were, you're a shogun, and you had your samurais or your troops, and instead of assistants, they're your troops. Instead of being the president, you're the shogun. You're moving around these different areas in Japan, and you're trying to build your economy. That has some sexiness to it.
Yeah.
This one, it's a little dry, para sa akin.
I agree.
That's one of the reasons why I hesitated heavily to getting it. And it was only after that, when we played it, that now I want to get my own copy.
What do you think of the art?
Eh.
You don't like it?
No.
Same as the theme. Because usually, art and theme goes together.
Yes.
If the art is strong, it actually helps push the theme as well.
Yes.
With it. In my opinion, personally, I don't mind the theme. I don't mind it. Pero yes, I agree with Drew that it can be something else, sexier, right? Like, yun nga, as a shogun, the resources can be anything naman.
And going with that same theme, with that medieval theme, you can replace the cardboard houses with actual building plastic minis.
The on shops, theme
and on design, depending on your class.
Like, true.
So green, we'll have like green Nipa huts.
You
would build that instead of like the cardboard cutouts.
True,
it would cost more, but you know, the overall experience of the game would greatly differ.
Right. But when in theme naman tying to mechanics, I mean, again, going back to the mechanics of placing assistants, you know, and
it makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah. Yes. You can only go as far. I can only imagine that, siguro, syempre, we don't know much about Japan, but probably in this era, medyo malaki yung rivalry between, ano, businesses, nag-sprout na businesses. Kaya, you really have to pay the opponent when you're in his space. Nakikidaan ka, wala ka dito, wala kang presence dito.
Yeah.
So, parang, pay me. Papadaanin kita.
And just a comment about the theme also. You mentioned that the creator or the designer, his background is Japanese.
Yeah, he's Japanese, yeah.
So it could have something to do with a cultural effect. Maybe in their the Japanese culture, that part of their history is very fascinating to them, that it was the time where they were able to lift their economy and transform it. And in that case, I would definitely think that's a fascinating thing.
It could have been, you know, the theme could be, you know, better than in the perspective of Japanese people themselves. Maybe because we don't know much about it.
Exactly.
That's why we have, you know, a slight knock against it.
For Western, for the audiences from the Western perspective, it doesn't have that historical significance, but for the Japanese designer, then but if you're ever, if you want to reskin it, definitely.
It's a good candidate.
Yes.
All right, so that's the theme. Up next is, what do you think about the overall gameplay? How's the experience of playing the game?
So As I mentioned, we played this a four-player game.
Yes, a couple of times.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was when we started off. Hmm. Admittedly, I was a little bit in the haze when we played it. So, I just dipped into my gaming experience. Okay, movement here. I didn't really go for any goals until I realized that there was the end game bonuses and the scoring track.
Yeah.
Big mistake. That was it. That
actually true.
I thought that was the key because that's where my experience would go. Okay, those are the goals.
Yeah.
If I get the goals, I win.
Uh-huh.
No. Apparently, there are many ways to win the game, get scores. So it's one of those games that this is the challenge is also the beauty of it because you have to know the tiles individually, what they do, their mechanics. That's a challenge because there are so many tiles.
Yes.
But that's also where the beauty of the game comes in.
Uh-huh.
Because there are so many tiles and they're differently laid out every time.
Uh-huh.
It creates that high replayability.
Yes.
But at the same time, the game gets better when you play it multiple times.
I would 100% agree to that. Yeah. Especially with you know, the boards are modular, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, speaking of it being replayable. Mm. So the layout of the map can differ. First, with the number of players, and then again with the random arrangement.
Yeah.
So every game would be really different. So it's one of those games that you probably think what you could have done better in the last game, and you might have a plan that the next game you wouldn't be able to execute kasi iba nga yung layout no map.
Yes.
So yeah, you would have to adjust on it. But again, I mean, in my book, this is a positive kasi I like, If it gives a fresh feeling, even if it's the nth time you've played it already, that's good.
If I could give an advice to people who are high on theme, and we know we have players in our game group who are high on theme, and they're looking to jump into this game, try to get past the what I would call like a grayscale theme facade of the game with the tiles, the artwork. Uh-huh. It has the sexiness of a spreadsheet. That's right?
True.
That sexy, which is not much.
Uh-huh.
But if you can get past that and try to concentrate on the rules and your movements and gaining the points, that's when the game catches, grabs at you.
Actually, you would realize while playing that it's elegant in a way. The way that the rules, the mechanics come together, you know. It's basically, you're building a network, on moving.
Right.
And it's also a worker placement. So, how many workers is in there is how powerful your action is going to be. But, and then there's a set collection aspect to it.
Yeah.
And
it's also very Euro in a sense that when I was playing, I had my own set of plans.
Yes.
I hardly looked at anyone else's plans.
Yes.
But I was focused on my next 2 to 3 steps.
Yes.
So I knew exactly what I was going for. I have like goals and I knew, and I hardly bumped into anyone except for the part where you can't go where another player has their president.
Yes, yes.
And that's both a good thing and a bad thing. I wrote in my notes that you should also try to be mindful of scoring leaders. Because the last two games that we played had the same outcome. One leader was ahead by like 10, 20 points. And we were all bunched together in second place.
Yeah. The second, third, and fourth is just there. Speaking of that, I would say the player interaction is unintentional.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing in a limited board. You know, the maps could be tight.
Bakit nandiyan ka?
Yeah, parang yun yung decision, yung pagbalik sa turn mo. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. Tapos pag-check mo dun sa area na yun, bakit nandiyan ka? Paano pupunta dyan? Which prompts you to adjust to something else. Pero yun nga, so
there's also not a lot of blocking.
Yes.
No?
Yes, not a lot of blocking. Usually kasi the things that you do, you're doing it for yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why I call the player interaction intentional kasi you just happen to be there and you really don't know that's what you wanted to do.
Yes. Yeah.
But you received a coin. And money is really tight in this game. So every money you get, you'll take it.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Drew.
Before that, I remember you had some comments about play order. how it affected your game.
Very slightly. Well, I experienced playing as the first player and the last player.
Yes.
I'm not sure if the disparity is really high, pero there is a really, really slight disadvantage that I felt when I was the last player.
Mm.
Pero, because... again, to be fair, kasi there would be three areas blocked upon every player's turn anyway.
Yeah.
Pero I thought that kasi nung sa actual game natin, nag-uunahan tayo sa isang objective.
Right.
Which is very obvious.
Yes.
And I thought, hindi, okay lang, maunahan ko siya. And then, that same turn, oh no, andun siya sa place na kailangan kong pumunta para unahan siya. So, yes. Which is basically blocking me.
Also, in your experience, the abilities, the research, way how you experience the game. Because the first game, you had broken teleportation thing.
I have the train that makes me, you know, basically ignores the rules on the movement.
Right.
And then the next game that I played, I don't have it, so the game became harder for me.
Yes. In my case, I got the ability to go where to place a precedent where another player's precedent is already placed, and that also affected my experience.
Right. So, I guess a tip if you're going to play the game is go for technology cards.
Mm,
wouldn't think they're worth it, but some of them are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is one of those games that I know I like because I'm still thinking about what I would do in future games.
Yes.
Hours, days after we've already played it.
Yep.
So, to the point that we are, we tried to get our own copy.
Yes. We're currently bidding on one.
Please don't outbid us.
Yeah, don't outbid us.
But the game is generally available in retailers. Yes.
Bayong of Holding, I think, as Drew mentioned earlier, and Board Geekbox are those that I checked.
Yeah.
If you want to get the game, check those stores out. And again, final thoughts. Pero, to answer the question, how fun is Yokohama for you?
It's totally fun.
Mm-hmm.
There is a learning curve, but do not be... If you can get past the learning curve and... mundane artwork, you are in for hours and hours of replayability fun.
Agree. Very much so. Again, a slight knock on the learning from the rulebook part and also this on the art, I guess, could have been better. The theme could have been better. But overall, when you're playing the game, if you're expecting it to be a Euro game, we're in with a clever movement mechanic and, you know, trading goods and whatnot. It's a very fun game. I highly recommend it. To everyone, if you can play it, and if you can get it, hopefully this episode actually helped you on learning more about Yokohama, about how fun it is. We know there are already lots of review content out there. This is really not a review. This is slightly in
feedback.
Yes, feedback. Giving our impression. In our perspective. So, you know.
Tell us in the comments how you, if you played Yokohama, how was your experience? Did you like it? Was it your, would you recommend it to a new player or not?
Yeah.
And if you like this review, tell us what other games you'd like us to review.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll be looking forward to it. Yes. All right. That would be it for this episode of Cardboard Buzz. And that's how fun is Yokohama. Bye.
Bye. Cardboard Buzz.